Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
I have to tell you that whether the Julius Malema is right or not, it bothers me tremendously that he could be creating fear and talking about a grid collapse when this is hardly his expertise at all. And I'm very, very skeptical about politicians, especially of the sort that does play the public when they come out with statements like this. We wanted to, however, understand how real a concern this is. Roger Lilly is an energy analyst. Roger, very good morning. Thanks for joining us once again. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. Very, very well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
So it bothers me, and I don't believe that we should be taking people like Julius Malema seriously when it comes to this type of discussion. That said, how much of a concern is a total grid collapse?
Well, a total grid collapse would be a very serious situation, virtually a catastrophe to the country. simply because when the grid collapses, what it means is that the power generating equipment has now completely been swamped by the load.
Right.
And that it simply can't recover. And to overcome that problem, you've then got to shut down all the power stations, you've got to remove all the load, and then slowly start up the power stations again. This could take 2 or even 3 weeks. So it really is very, very serious. Other countries that have experienced it in the past have had access to power from a neighbor that has been able to help them out of it. So,
right.
For example, in New York State in America, they had this some years ago, but the power was only off for less than 24 hours because they could get power from neighboring states. In South Africa, we don't have that privilege. We don't
right,
have,
of course.
We are the hub of generating capacity in this part of the country, in all the world. So we could not do that.
But how would it work, though? The fact that we're producing power from different power stations around the country, how would it make sense for there to be one total grid collapse?
Okay, so what happens is all the power stations are feeding into one central pipe, if you like. So compare it to water. So you have, let's say, a great big pipe with water in it, and you've got all of these taps, which are electricity generators, pouring this water into this big pipe.
Right.
What's happening now is that some of those taps are being turned off, either because they're being turned off for maintenance purposes or they're being turned off because they're breaking down. And so less and less water is coming into that pipe. However, the pipe size remains the same, and the pipe has to be filled. So it starts creating a vacuum and sucking, as it were, out of those taps.
Right.
From an electricity perspective, perhaps that's one way I could describe it to
right.
you.
Right.
And so the only way you can do that is to shut off all the load, which is exactly what load shedding does.
Right.
Load shedding balances the load to the availability or the available generating capacity at any one moment in time. Now, the whole purpose of the control center that Eskom has and load shedding as a process is exactly to prevent a total collapse. And so recently what's happened is a new national standard has been agreed, which allows for load shedding at far higher levels than stage 8. In fact, it can go as high as stage 16 now in terms of the new standards. And so Eskom has procedure plans in place to be able to continuously reduce the amount of demand or load on the existing power stations so that it can match the amount of electricity available to the amount of demand from the country. So the likelihood of a total grid collapse, while not being zero, you can never do that, but
right.
the likelihood is so remote given the infrastructure that Eskom has in place in its control room, that I think that, this obviously is more of a scaremongering to generate panic. And I believe because of it, of where it's come from, that the idea is simply to create more doubt in people's minds, particularly the voters' minds, regarding the ability of the current political party in power to overcome this problem, and hinting that this other political party who is spreading this concern would be able to do a better job, which is questionable,
well,
to say the least.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say it's questionable. I think it would be pretty impossible. So that's interesting. So your response is that although the likelihood of a grid collapse obviously is never zero, because it can't be, there's a very low likelihood of this happening, given the systems that are in place, given load shedding, and our focus should actually be on additional power, on all sorts of other things, other than worrying about that as something that is unlikely to happen.
Yes, and I think what the public can learn and should be reminded again and again is that wherever possible, they must use as little electricity as they possibly can. And it's relatively easy, you know, switching off lights when you leave a room, switch off your electric heater when you go to bed at night, don't let it run through the night, things like that. Keep your geyser on a timer so that it's only on for an hour or two per day instead of 24 hours a day. Run your swimming pool pump maybe twice a week instead of every day of the week. Don't use air conditioners if you can avoid them. Use an electric frying pan or an air fryer or a microwave oven instead of your big oven if you can. Use gas to cook. Boil water on a gas stove instead of an electric kettle.
Right.
These sorts of things
all
can
adds up.
Because if everyone was to do it, then load shedding would not be as serious as it is. We wouldn't need to go to the stages.
Right.
That we go to at the moment.
And there was also recently an article that I found very interesting. It was in my broadband, about the amount of solar panels being imported into the country, batteries, installations taking place. When are we likely to see this making some difference to the grid? It's obviously making a significant difference to people's lives. But when will it start to impact on the amount of power being drawn from the grid that could actually contribute something positive?
Well, in fact, you'd be interested to know that about 10% of South Africa's electricity generation capacity comes from solar and wind already.
Wow, that's high.
Yeah, so we have around 50,000 megawatts of power capacity. That's what we can generate if everything's working perfectly.
Right.
Of which about 6,000 comes from solar and wind. And that excludes rooftop solar that the commercial and industrial and domestic customers are using. So this is going to continuously grow, particularly given the offer that the Minister of Finance made in his budget speech, that 25% of the cost of solar panels can be reclaimed off your tax if you are an individual, and 125% can be reclaimed if you are a business. So certainly, we do expect to see this continuing to grow. But you must remember that when we look at the demographics of the country, there's a relatively small percentage of the population which can actually afford to do this on their private homes. We're not Australia, where the penetration is that
absolutely
much deeper.
Yeah.
But in business, I mean, virtually every shopping centre of any size, the hospitals, and many office parks, and even certain residential parks, these estates are going that way. And we are going to see more and more of this, definitely. But I reckon 2 years from now, we will probably have moved to maybe as high as 15% from solar and wind.
And in terms of the ability to feed back into the grid, because I read that one of the concerns is that we only you know, somebody has solar, and they're only using a certain amount of what they're producing. If that could be fed back into the grid, it would obviously make a significant difference.
It would make a big difference. It would help. However, as things stand at the moment, it would require some fairly major surgery to some of the electrical infrastructure at both municipal and Eskom level, and neither the municipalities nor Eskom have the sort of money right now to be able to address that. So that's not going to happen immediately. I know Cape Town are moving in that direction, but they're managed differently, and they seem to have to get these things right. But the rest of the country, not yet. However, even if we're not able to put the power back into the grid, even if we have to only use a certain percentage of what we garner for ourselves, whatever we do use, we don't demand from Eskom. And so it all helps.
Absolutely. So everything
every
helps.
Every little bit helps.
No question about that. It is 8:59. That is where we leave it. Roger Lilly, thank you as always. Thanks for chatting to us and giving us that perspective. Carol Z says, vitally important interview. Thank you. And I think it is important that we just keep perspective and we don't get caught up in the fear-mongering of the politicians where they are. We know that they are playing to the audience.